IsraelScene.com. You're listening to IsraelScene.com. This is Steve, and we're here with Alan Barlin, CEO of an international company, former tank commander during the 73 war.
Yeah.
And you're living up north, right, Alan?
Right.
And we heard today that there were some Katyusha that landed.
Catch, morning.
You've been in war, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What is your take on what's going on right now with Hamas and Gaza?
They're no good wars. I don't think that Israel had very much choice. Anybody who knows the recent history of Israel's withdrawal from Gaza and Hamas's takeover of the Gaza Strip understands that they're dedicated to Israel's destruction. They're not ready for any kind of compromise. And even now, where they're paying a very heavy price for their activity, they're not really ready for a ceasefire, and they're only looking for some kind of victory that could justify the damage that they've caused in the Gaza Strip. It's an unfortunate situation, but that's what it is.
And that Hamas uses the population to hide behind. The greater the damage, the more that they feel that they've won a victory, not necessarily on the battlefield. How do we respond to the rest of the world, or does it really matter at this point? I mean, it seems that every war we're in, or every situation we're in, we're getting trashed by the UN and almost every country in the globe.
I don't think that Israel needs to pay attention to it. The position of the world vis-a-vis Jews is fairly clear, and all you have to do is look back at our history and life living outside of Israel before there was a state to understand what the real intentions of the rest of the world is, and in particular the Europeans. Remember that in the Second World War, there were British who supported the Nazis, and there's a British left wing that doesn't live in any kind of reality, that expects Israel to pay whatever price is necessary as long as the other side gets the credit and wins. Israel has made every effort to find some kind of peaceful accommodation. And all through the whole period that Israel's tried to negotiate, since Oslo till today, the answer of the Arab populations has been, or segments of the Arab population, not fair to say all of them, has been violence, bus bombings, shellings, attacks from the north, 8 years of rockets into populated centers in the south. And as far as the rest of the world is concerned, you know, where was the United Nations when they were rocketing Israel consistently? Nowhere to be found. But now that Israel tries to defend itself, Jews don't have a right to defend themselves. So Israel has to come to the conclusion that as far as the rest of the world is concerned, they kill all the Jews they want, but God forbid Israel should try to defend itself.
What do you think about the possibility of a second front in terms of the North and Hezbollah?
I don't think that it's going to happen. I think that they'll try to fire the occasional rocket across the border in order to try to show some kind of allegiance or identification with what's going on in Gaza, but I don't think that they'll open a second front. They have yet to repair the damage from the last war. And although everything that's going on is pretty well orchestrated and armed by Iran, I don't think that the Lebanese, other than Hezbollah, are ready to get involved in a war with Israel, and the pressure, therefore, is on Hezbollah to try to not respond if they want to continue to play a part in Lebanese politics. So I don't really think that they're that suicidal.
How does one be able to share with the audience that thank God has never been in a wartime situation, the difference between two standing armies fighting each other, a well-trained army fighting a guerrilla outfit? I mean, this is where the difficulty with civilian casualties takes place, that they're always within the population and done on purpose, obviously, including all the videos we're seeing on YouTube showing them literally dragging young kids by the scruff of the neck across streets so they don't get fired upon by the IDF, by the army in Gaza. How do you deal with this?
It's not new. They've always hid behind civilian populations. They did it in Lebanon. It's not a new tactic at all. In Gaza, it's particularly painful because look what happened in Gaza. They got to be in power, Hamas, because they were voted in by the population. The population supported them. They never hid from the population what their goals were. They always talked about the killing the Jews, the destruction of the Jews, and our right of existence is based on us being a resistance. They were from the outset against any kind of negotiation with Israel. The population is was well aware of what their stand was, and now the population is paying the price for their democratic vote. Hitler was elected in a democratic election. So democracy isn't always the answer. It's terrible, the suffering that they're going through. I mean, it's really terrible. But there is little choice. I think that the Israeli army is making every effort, and has always made every effort, to try not to hit civilian populations. But if it's between your own troops getting killed and them, I guess it's going to be them, and that's the way it is. They could have stopped this at any moment by just saying that they're going to stop firing rockets, and it would have ended it. But they continue to fire rockets, and they continue to be involved in their own illusions of being some kind of resistance. They have no chance against a well-organized and well-disciplined army. They never did. Israel isn't going, can't fight back as guerrillas against guerrillas. And so they're paying the price, and they'll continue paying the price. And at some point, they'll understand that it's not worth it, that they would be doing a lot better. And all you have to do is look at what's going on today in the West Bank. They would be a lot better off if they came to some kind of negotiated settlement. The problem is that their ideology and their supporters, both politically and militarily, are not interested in a settlement. They're interested in the destruction and the death of the Jews in Israel. End of story. Simple and to the point.
So how do you think this is going to end in Gaza?
I think that they'll come to some kind of ceasefire agreement. I don't think that public pressure from outside of Israel is going to cause the Israeli government to change its what it's looking for, the goals of, you know, stopping the fire rockets and to stop being armed by Hezbollah, by Iran and Hamas outside of the country. And it'll just keep going on and on and on. And it could go on for weeks. That's probably what's going to happen. I don't think that the election of Barack Obama and the new administration in the United States or anything of the kind is going to change what Israel is looking for in this. They didn't want to go to war. They put it off for 8 years. The population wanted to go in and settle it. The government, as unpopular as it was, refused to do so. But now that they've initiated this action, they're not going to stop until they get to where they want to be. You'll see, you notice that the Hamas leadership inside of Gaza wants a ceasefire, and the Syrian part of Hamas, the ones living in comfort in Damascus, don't want a ceasefire. And so either there's going to be a split in their movement over this issue, or it'll just continue to go on and on and on. Israel can stay there and fight this out for the next 20 years if they have to. They can't sustain the damage. And so I think that at the end they'll agree to some kind of ceasefire.
What do you think about the Arab-Israeli population in regard to either for or against the Gaza operation, and mainly the leadership? And I heard that the elections committee, although it may not be held up by the Supreme Court here, essentially disqualified two of the major Arab parties in the Knesset for their leadership and the content of what their leadership has been saying in their speeches, essentially, as they say, is anti-Israel, and that they have no place in the regular democratic process. What do you think about it?
I think that, first of all, I'm sure and I hope that the Supreme Court won't allow disallowing them to participate in the elections. In a democracy, you don't have to like what the other party says. You don't have to be in love with it. But you have to accept that they have a right to say whatever they want to say. I don't think that they reflect the majority of Arabs living inside of Israel. I don't think that the majority of Arabs living inside of Israel want to be part of the Palestinian entity. I think that they see what goes on there and the level, their material level, etc., etc. They're not interested. There's a problem in Israel. Part of it's caused by the ongoing conflict, that they don't exactly have at all times equal rights with the Jewish population, and that's a problem. They need representation, and no matter what they say, you know, I'm a Democrat. I don't like what the Republicans said for the last 8 years, but I didn't try to overthrow the Republican administration. It's part of living in a democracy, and you don't have to agree with them, but they do have a right to say it. I don't think they should have been disqualified. I don't think that they necessarily identify with everything that their leadership says. I think that they want to live in peace. I have a lot of friends in the Arab sector in this country, and I know more or less where they stand. And yeah, there are problems. There are clearly problems, but I don't think that they're looking for the overthrow of the Jewish state or anything of the kind, or anything that the right wing in this country is claiming that they really stand for. That's not the population here, and that's not what they're looking for.
Just switching slightly to a different emphasis. What do you think about all the anti-Semitism that's now taking place as a result of in Europe and even in the States to some degree, regarding the response to Israel's war with Hamas?
I think you have to be careful to divide it into two parts. I think that the European response is different than what's going on in the United States. The Europeans are the last ones in the world who should have any right to say anything about Israel defending itself. They have a 2,000-year history of the worst kinds of anti-Semitism, pogroms, discrimination. You can't even begin to describe it. They have no right to say anything. In the United States, I don't think that in general the American population, in particular after 9/11, overly sympathized with Hamas and with what's going on here. If there are demonstrations in the States, they're probably more than likely it's Palestinians and not the standard, you know, American from the Midwest. I don't think that's what's going on there. And I think it's important to differentiate. Nobody likes violence. Nobody likes violence. And nobody likes to see civilian populations suffer. I think that you have to be careful to discern between what's going on in the United States, which is not very, you know, it's not major, and what's going on in Europe. If you take a look at who's demonstrating in Europe, I think that you'll see that for the most part it's the far left, and it's Arabs. It's Muslims. It's not the general population. But even if it was, who cares?
That's well said. I have another question regarding this. Why is it so acceptable today to equate Israel with the Nazi regime? Why all of a sudden there aren't any governments speaking out about this gross analogy? What's happening? Why is it's almost accepted now globally to be able to equate the Mogen David, the Star of David, on the Israeli flag with the swastika? I mean, it's almost an accepted disagreeing with the policies of Israel. What's your take on this?
I don't think most of the governments support that position in Europe. I do think that there is an inclination on the part of the non-Jewish populations in Europe to use that equation because it helps them justify in their own minds the horrible Holocaust that they perpetrated against the Jews. And although there's no comparison whatsoever, Israel is not exactly sending Palestinians to concentration camps, standing in line naked and gassing them to death like the Germans did. But it's comfortable. It's comfortable for them to make that equation because it justifies the mark of Cain that they all wear on their foreheads for their fathers' and grandfathers' terrible sins against the Jews. But in reality, it's meaningless. It really is meaningless. The truth is that it isn't a Holocaust. They know it's not a Holocaust. We know it's not a Holocaust. This isn't the mass and engineered and dedicated extermination of a people. It's not even close. And I don't think that Israel needs to pay attention to it. I think it's a fringe that's saying it. Remember, all of these demonstrations, all of what's going on, is not a reflection of the majority of the populations in any of these countries. It is a fringe. And the rhetoric that they use is the rhetoric they use, but in reality it's a justification for their own fathers' and grandfathers' terrible sins against the Jews.
Alan, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Speak to you again when the rockets aren't flying.
All right.
Thanks.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.